Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, everyone in between or irrespective of that binary, welcome to LGBT&D, where the D stands for dice, and every voice you hear is a member of the LGBT community. You can call me Andy, because that's my name. I use he, him pronouns. I will be your GM for this journey through Masks, A New Generation, a game owned and produced by Magpie Games. And joining me once again are my four lovely players, who will introduce themselves to you right now.
Hello, my name is Alexia. I use she, her pronouns. I am playing Alana Hyde, who also uses she, her pronouns. And last week, I think I threw Ruby's mum into a different dimension. I don't know, so something minor like that, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably not going to have any major ramifications on the plot or anything.
My name is Weaver. You can call me Eve. I use she, her, or they, them pronouns, and I play Laura Mooney, otherwise known as Nightshade. Last week, so I don't know if this is, like, too meta, but I apparently contracted the malice.
Oh, yeah. Isn't that... Yeah, I remember that.
I'm still really iffy about what the fuck that means, or, like, if it's going to have an effect.
Nah.
But we'll find out.
It's fine. When have I ever done anything mean to Nightshade?
Every episode.
Anyway, Justin, would you like to remind us who you are, who you'll be playing, and one thing you remember from last week?
Yes. I'm playing as Justin, who's also playing as Ramos Price, who both have the same pronouns. He, him. He is Shadowclaw. Yeah, what happened last week? I know some stuff happened. Shit. I need help.
You kept getting weird texts.
The mum was yeeted, and we had a pretty good fight.
Yeah, there was lots of teleporting back and forth. I think that Hocus wanted to make a new taxi teleporting, and there were some weird texts, and I may or may not be a little mad at someone.
Oh yeah, your boyfriend betrayed us.
Was last week the week where we found out that What's-His-Face, evil guy, didn't actually have the thing that we thought he did? And then What's-His-Face, jump scare, gave us an empty fucking briefcase?
He sure did give us an empty fucking briefcase.
Was that last week?
That was last week, yeah.
Okay. I have, like, no sense of time, so...
Same.
Hey, Lamau. Hi, I'm Max. They he, him pronouns. And today I'm playing Ruby, also known as Antithesis, who uses she, her pronouns. Last week, Ruby's mom was yeeted. Not to metagame. Ruby doesn't know who did it yet. Also, they had a pretty good fight. She fought the guys who kidnapped her mom, and I think Alana might have TP'd him away too. So nothing came of that. And Jump Scare is a piece of shit.
Thank you all for the recap, and with that, I can finally say it's Moonlighter Day in Halcyon City. Our first panel centers on Nightshade, Shadowclaw, and Antithesis on a large wooden stage that has been set up in the middle of downtown. A large banner behind them proclaims it to be Moonlighter Day, as well as thanking our heroes for their actions. Sort of elevated on the top of this staging area are several large TV screens that show like news recaps and pictures of the events the night before, as you all took down Warp, the Puppeteer, and several other major villains in the Halcyon City rogues gallery, as it were. The mayor of Halcyon City is standing at a podium in front of our young heroes, who look out over a crowd of citizens and heroes alike that have shown up to see them and celebrate this day. Is there anyone in particular that the three of you would be looking for in this crowd as you get a chance to sort of scan it over?
You know what? Ruby would be looking for snipers on rooftops, to be honest with you.
There doesn't seem to be anything like that, no.
Okay, Andy.
I know Ramos's parents would be there, but are not, because they are currently comatose. Laura's mom and dad she sees out in the crowd, her mom looking very proud of her. I'm not sure if one of them would probably have like a nightshade sign or something like that. I kind of like the idea of one of them just like holding up a handmade sign. You do note that Jump Scare is not there, if you would look around for him. Would any of you have looked for him the night before, or did you all just sort of leave that as it was?
I think our plan was to look for them, unless Alana had anything else to do.
She had stuff to do, but she would have maybe looked for him for a bit.
Okay, if you all did go out looking for him the night before, like, we get a couple of flashback panels to your all search efforts. He was unable to be found. Jump Scare seems as if he has disappeared, for lack of a better term. So, with the three of them up on the stage behind the mayor of Halcyon City, where is Alana at during this time? You decided that she wasn't going to be at this festival/ceremony, right?
Nah, she's at home. Her house, her new house, which is massive and awesome. Do you want to know what she's specifically doing? Or?
Yeah, give me a panel or two of just like what she's sort of getting up to in this time frame.
She's trying to astral project to communicate with the antithesis she threw into the other dimension.
With Ruby's mom?
So she's dissociating.
Yeah, Ruby's mom, yeah.
Okay, give me a roll to unleash your powers there.
Sure. 13.
Oh, wow. Okay. With a 13, you do it. What's it look like as she astral projects to talk to Ruby's mother?
So I feel like we get a panel of kind of Alana, and she's just meditating, kind of like the classic, I think it's called lotus position. She's kind of like hovering slightly above the floor of her room, her eyes closed. And then we get a panel of the other dimension that she threw Ruby's mum into. And it's just like this kind of void of swirling darkness. And there's occasionally like purple lightning that's just going off in the background, just flashing. And then Alana's kind of, it's like a translucent body, like her astral form, kind of appears next to where Ruby's mum is currently.
As she sees you sort of pop into existence near her, antithesis, Ruby's mother, looks over at you and says, What is this? Where am I?
That's a very good question. It's pretty crazy how the trickster threw you in here, isn't it? And I'm going to use my psychic powers to try and brainwash her into thinking that that's what happened.
Okay. I was going to say manipulate someone. That is the wrong game system. Go ahead and roll to unleash your powers again.
Sure. 10.
Okay. She looks at you and says, how are you? What do you know about what he did? And her eyes narrow as she's looking at Alana's astral form.
He's a magic user like me, but he's kind of crazy. He likes to throw people into other dimensions or transform them in horrific ways or otherwise kill them. He used to be affiliated with my dad, but he's too crazy to control. He just messes with anyone he can. You vanished and Ruby asked me to look for you and I found you, I think. I don't even know if this is a trap.
Then you'll pull me out of here. And the way she says it, it is very clearly not a question.
I'm not as powerful as he is. I'm gonna need the Eye of Zeus or the Staff of the Olympians to empower myself to do it, or I need some kind of magical artifact to empower myself so I can get you out of here. Otherwise, it's just gonna kill us both of us.
Did you fail in getting the staff from Warlord, then?
Yeah, it's, I don't know what Warlord did.
She seems to think about it for a minute and says, in that case, wait a minute. How can I trust you?
I mean, Ruby's my best friend and you're her mum, so I haven't, even though you're a villain, I do have some interest in making sure you get out of here not dead.
Roll to provoke her plus superior for me.
12. I'm very trustworthy.
The Eye of Zeus, as far as I know, Well, I suppose Aegis has it. It was with Warp when all of this was going down, from what I heard, but if they've taken him in, they probably took it back as well.
Warp, Aegis. Okay, I'm gonna... I can't stay in here much longer. I'm losing my astral focus, and if I stay in here too long, Trickstar will notice me. I'm gonna let Ruby know where you are, and we're gonna go recover the Eye of Zeus so I can get you out of here.
Ensure that you do.
You can count on me.
And with that, we will cut back to the rest of our Moonlighters on the stage in downtown Halcyon City. The city's mayor is standing next to Director Killinger of Aegis, and he is in the middle of a speech when we cut back to him. Yes?
Can I have Ruby interrupt him?
Sure.
So he's standing at a podium, right?
Yes.
Everyone is in their, like, superhero clothes?
The three of you would be, I'd assume, yeah.
Yeah, great. Awesome.
Unless any of you would decide to show up outside of your costumes.
No, I don't think so.
Absolutely not.
I can't hide. I'm up on the stage naked.
So if Nightshade were to wear pants, would she wear them like this or like this?
So if there's a microphone up on that podium, yeah, Ruby's going to grab that just for a second. She's not going to push him or anything. She's just going to, you know, just reach in there with her arm, grab that.
As you walk up and grab the microphone out from in front of him, he looks over at you, and so does Director Killinger. They're both very surprised.
So Ruby grins and looks towards the crowd and waves and says,
"This thing on? Ah, great, thanks. As the Moonlighter's leader, I'm just happy to say thank you for having us be the official defenders of Halcyon City. We just want you to know that if you are in this city and if you are doing evil, we will find you and we will stop you."
And then she just gives the mic back to Derek.
The crowd starts clapping and cheering their support. The mayor takes the microphone back and says,
"I was attempting to say, while these young heroes may have been criticized in the past, we owe them a debt of gratitude after last night. While they may be unlike the rest of us."
And that speech bubble is over a panel of Nightshade's face.
"One may be the child of one of Halcyon's most feared supervillains."
And that is over a panel of Ruby's face.
"And one may be the latest in a legacy of capes that have turned to villainy."
And that's over Shadowclaw's face. And the mayor is going to try to use his influence to shift each of your labels in turn here. So for Nightshade, he is going to try to up your freak and lower your mundane. Do you want to accept or roll to reject that?
I'll accept that. That's pretty much what I'm going for. So yeah, let's fucking do it.
Okay. Ruby, he is trying to up your danger and lower your savior.
Sure.
And Shadowclaw, he is trying to up your danger and lower your mundane, since he cannot do your savior.
Honestly, I would have thought that he'd try, but it would just fail. But regardless of that, yeah, I'll accept that.
It should be noted that Ruby is having an amazing time.
He continues his speech and says,
"They saved this entire city from the terrors of Warp, the Puppeteer, and many other hoods just last night. And we owe to them our lives and our city. These three are heroes, and I now turn the podium over to them if they would like to make any further comments."
And he steps off to the side and leaves the podium open for if the three of you, any of you, would like to make comments to Halcyon City at large. You all are very televised right now. Pretty much every major news outlet in Halcyon City is here, as well as the vast majority of its citizens.
Would it be possible for Ruby to just, like, be looking in the crowd just to make sure there aren't any villains here that she didn't know about besides Jump Scare?
Sure. Go ahead and roll to assess the situation for me. That's plus superior.
That is a 7.
Okay. On a 7 to 9, ask 1. What here can I use to blank? What here is the biggest threat? What here is in the greatest danger? Who here is most vulnerable to me? Or how could we best end this quickly? Some of those aren't necessarily applicable, but that's the list you got.
Well, I do have criminal mind. When I assess the situation, I can always ask one of the following questions, even on a miss. What here is useful or valuable to me? How can I best infuriate or provoke? What's the best way in / past? Do I get that with my question or just instead of my question?
You can add those to the list. You still only get one question, though.
Cool. I'm going to use what here is useful or valuable to me.
Okay. What sort of thing would Ruby be looking for there? What would she consider useful or valuable?
Is there anyone here who might know that Ruby could talk to perhaps once this is all over? Who might know where Jumpscare is? I mean, maybe the director, possibly? If she could just, like, take him aside or something?
Yeah, there's a fair number of heroes out in the crowd. Like you said, the director would be valuable to you in that regard. The mayor of Halcyon City could be valuable if you sort of played your cards right and opened up a working relationship with him. There are a lot of sort of people of power that would be valuable to her if she were able to play the social game the right way.
Okay, question. The Young Beacons, do they still have their apartment building?
They do, yeah.
Okay, I wonder if it's possible, Andy, for me to take the mayor aside. Maybe.
Are you doing this on the stage in front of everybody?
Well, Ruby kind of already did her thing, and if anyone's going to say anything, it's going to be Nightshade or Shadowclaw.
Okay.
So she doesn't really need to.
So I want to give them a chance to make any sort of speech or anything that they want to, and then...
Sure, you guys do your thing.
And then we will cut over to Ruby pulling the mayor aside.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna say something.
Yeah, Shadowclaw will just sort of look awkwardly around and just like, go ahead, I'm good.
I'm going to approach the podium and just kind of take a deep breath, and I'm going to do my best to kind of be that person that I was telling Cole to be. And I'm going to look out to the audience and I'm going to tell them,
I always thought that being different was a curse. I always thought that nobody would ever accept me. I always thought that it was the end. But now I see that it was the beginning. It was the beginning of something great. And I have amazing friends and support, and I want everybody out there who feels different, whether they're different like me or whether they're different in their own way, to know that it's not the end, that it is the beginning of something beautiful. And you don't have to worry about it being you don't have to worry about it destroying your life. It can really be useful in building a new life.
That's going to be it.
Okay. So you look out over people, over the crowd. You see that your mom is, like, wiping tears from her eyes on the back of her wrist. There are, in fact, a lot of people that are moved by what they are hearing from you. People do clap and cheer to show their appreciation and support as well. As Nightshade steps away from the podium, is Shadowclaw going to step up and say anything?
He'd look really flustered and embarrassed, despite, you know, being in all black. But despite that, no, he wouldn't. He wouldn't know what to say to a large group of people like this. The internal monologue type of thing is that, wow, yeah, I can be rebellious, I can be a hero, but now there's people, like, that many people watching. Maybe not.
You actually do hear a voice in your head. It is the original Shadowclaw, or Shadowblade, who we haven't heard from in a while. But he comes into your head and he says, come on, kid, this is part of being a hero. You want to wear the mask, you gotta play the part. And he is going to try to use his influence over you to shift your labels as well, upping your freak and lowering your mundane. Actually, no, upping your superior and lowering your mundane. He's saying you're not just a regular person. You've got to step up to the plate and do these sort of celebrity-like appearances.
So unfortunately for him, this is a singular experience in my brain. And I can tell him in my brain, no, because that's what I usually do. But more mainly because, no, I can still be a hero, but I don't have to be the flamboyant type. No, I don't have to be the person that has to be the shining beacon of light for all the other people, which would be ironic anyway. No, I don't have to be the happiest person. I can just be really good at my fucking job.
Okay. Go ahead and roll to reject his influence, and that is a flat 2d6.
Rip. I rolled a 6.
Okay. Go ahead and mark your potential.
Da-da-da-da.
And as you are thinking that to him, before he gets a chance to reply, the TV slightly behind you and up elevated off the ground, you hear as it has a slight explosion, sparks shoot out from it. And as you look up in that direction, you see a hard light projected shield is sticking into the TV as if it had been thrown out from the crowd. And somebody steps forward and hoists himself up onto the stage. And the three of you see who you would recognize as Avery Barnes, aka Sentinel. But now instead of his sort of classic color combination, the suit is blacks and grays. He takes the microphone and says,
"I'm sorry, Mayor, I've stood out in that crowd and listened to this for long enough. If you think these three are heroes, you're fooling yourself, you're fooling this
Ruby's
entire
gonna take
crowd.
The mic. Ruby's taking the mic.
Okay, roll to directly engage a threat then if you're trying to take something from him.
That's going to be a 10.
Okay, pick two from the list. Resist or avoid their blows. Take something from them. Create an opportunity for your allies. Or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I'm gonna take something from this man.
The microphone, I assume?
Hell yeah.
And your other choice?
Impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition?
Not gonna dodge his blows.
No.
Okay, so I think as Ruby takes the microphone from him, he does sort of, like, fling his arm. He's not trying to necessarily harm Ruby, but he does knock her down to the ground. And he looks over at the mayor, he says, "These three are as villainous as they come. They infiltrated the young beacons. They tore us apart from the inside. She is the daughter of Antithesis. How do we know that she even has the best interest of this city in her mind?"
Moonlighters?
I'm so tempted to just be like, "That's my secret, Captain. She fucking doesn't." Am I wrong?
Is she wrong, Ruby?
I mean, has Ruby really done anything for anyone to think that she would not have the city's best interest in her? Hello?
I mean, all of our public things have just been good.
Exactly.
I was going to say, it's every time that we have a conversation about, like, our goals, Ruby is like, "I just want people to obey. I just want people to do whatever I say without questioning
what
it."
What are you going to do? I mean, like, she's 17 years old, so...
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't think that she has had the reputation, like, I don't think...
That's not, like, a public reputation she hasn't developed, but it's definitely a reputation in the group.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't really even think Ruby would have to work real hard to defend herself. Why would they believe this fucking mook?
I mean, like, if it's someone that's interacted with you... No, that sounded so much, like, shadier than I intended. Sorry.
How many of these people have interacted with me? Like, I'm sure the barista at the fucking Starbucks that Ruby goes to isn't in the crowd. He's not gonna be like, "Hey, he's right!"
Laura's mom's just like, yeah, the Sentinel kind of nailed it here.
I mean, that's fair. But no, I am going to, kind of cut Sentinel off, and I'm just going to, like, almost sympathetically approach him and be like, "Sentinel, what are you doing?"
He turns his full attention on Nightshade and says, "What am I doing? It's what you're doing. I know that you all send Alana into the young beacons to report back to you. Antithesis came into our home and attacked me, tried to blow it up, and you three get praised as heroes when all you've done is capitalize on villains that you've been working with. What sort of justice is that?"
"When the hell did I blow anything up?" I think by this time Ruby would have stood up.
I thought Ruby was already... Okay. I'm gonna definitely, like, position myself in between them. And I'm just going to be like, we didn't send anyone to spy on you. She left, and that caused a schism. We weren't happy about that. We didn't choose that.
He holds his hand with the wristwatch out. The shield flies back to him and in the process is going to slam into Nightshade. And I need you to take a powerful blow for me.
All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Cool.
Okay. Seven.
Okay. On a 7 to 9, choose one. You lash out verbally, provoke a teammate to foolhardy action, or take advantage of your influence to inflict a condition. Give ground, your opposition gets an opportunity, or you struggle past the pain, mark two conditions.
I'm going to use my influence over him to inflict a condition.
Oh, you have influence over him, don't you?
I do. I don't know when I got it, but I know I have it.
I don't remember exactly myself, but if I had you write it down, it's there for a reason. What condition are you going to give him?
Guilty.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I don't even have to think about it. As the shield hits me, I'm going to pretty much just, I'm not going to fight him. Like, it's going to hit me. I'm going to go down and I'm just going to, if anybody tries to attack him, I'm going to stop them and I'm going to stand right back up and I'm going to get right back between him and Ruby. And I'm just going to tell him that it's like, look, this isn't who you want to be. This isn't who you are. I know who you are.
If that's the case, then you're going to be holding Ruby back by, her hair.
I will, if need be.
As Nightshade is saying that, he points over her shoulder towards Antithesis and says, this is exactly who I want to be. Is this who the three of you want to be? Do you want to tear this city apart? Be the heroes that these people think you are instead of the villains that we know you are.
You're the one tearing us apart. Don't be jealous because you didn't get a day. Just do better.
Ruby, please. I'm going to turn back to Sentinel and I'm just going to look him in the eye and I'm going to appeal to him basically and just tell him that it's like, I've never hurt you. I've never attacked you. I've never done anything to you and you're attacking me.
I sure have.
Ruby.
Exactly.
But I haven't. Why are you attacking me? What did I do? Is this who you are now?
By supporting Antithesis, you are complicit in her sins. And I will redeem this city.
So I'm guilty by association.
So that's your praxis? Sinning?
Ruby, that's enough. If I'm guilty by association, then I think it's fair to know that I think it's fair for everybody in this audience to know that you were condoning the alcohol consumption of minors. Is that who you want to be?
And also cloning. Hello?
He sort of, not laughs to himself, but just kind of goes, shh. You think kids drinking is anything on trying to blow up a building? You are working with a terrorist.
Who are you talking about?
Excuse me, the definition of terrorism is probably attacking the screen at a festival like this and causing everyone to be afraid of you, using violence, and now arguing with the people that are being presented. You seem to be the antagonist here.
Yeah, terrorism is fucking violence for a political agenda, and this sounds like a political agenda, dog.
Like you trying to blow up Baxter Tower wasn't?
I'm pretty sure that I have my own Wikipedia page, dude, and blowing shit up is not on my power list.
Ruby doesn't have the ability to blow things up.
If you'd like to make a complaint, then file it through the police. I'm sure someone in Aegis will investigate it. But you coming up on stage and making a scene of this doesn't help anyone. In fact, all it does is help the villains think that, oh, it's going to be real easy to make everyone fight each other and be distracted, like the raft. Wait, not the raft. What is it called?
Malice?
The hole? Is it the hole?
Oh, the hole.
Yeah, I was like, it's not the raft. Fuck. Fucking playing that Switch game. Anyway, the whole...
Shout out to Marvel Ultimate Alliance. Sponsor us.
Like I said, the whole, which is the reason why we're here, we were helping people. Who are you helping by this? Yourself. You're not helping anybody. You're causing antagonism between the people and the heroes and everybody else. You've made this completely about yourself.
He looks from antithesis over to Shadowclaw, and he starts taking off in Shadowclaw's direction. He is about to fight you. The crowd, parts of them have dispersed. Parts are still watching on, sort of in shock. The news cameras are keeping a close eye on what's going on. What are you going to do, Shadow Claws? You see him running towards you, fist raised, about to attack.
Can I step in front of him?
Yeah, I figured that was going to happen.
Sure. Roll to defend him.
Like, I'm not going to actively, like, use my powers or anything. I'm literally going to step in front of him. That way it's like, if Sentinel wants to hurt someone, he has to hurt me.
Right. Roll plus savior.
I got a 7.
On a hit, you keep them safe and choose one. Add a team to the pool. Take influence over Shadowclaw or clear a condition.
I'm going to clear a condition. I'm going to clear afraid. Actually, I'm going to clear insecure. Never mind. Give me an afraid back. I'm going to clear insecure because I am very aware, like I'm very like sure of who I am right now.
Okay. And then on a 7 to 9, it costs you expose yourself to danger or escalate the situation.
I'm going to expose myself to danger.
Okay. He barrels through you and just knocks Nightshade straight down to the ground. He is completely one track mind on attacking Shadowclaw at this point.
Can Ruby interrupt?
What does Ruby want to do?
So he's just straight up just running towards Ramos, right?
Well, he was, and then he stopped and, like, shoved Nightshade down to the ground.
Okay.
She did roll to get the successful protection, so he's not currently going to attack Shadowclaw, but it's not outside of the realm of possibility that he may try again.
I think Ruby's going to attempt to use her powers to summon a psychic whip, lash it around his neck, and kind of pull him backwards, like, hard onto the ground, onto his back.
Okay. As you do that, your whip connects with something in front of him, and we get, like, sort of a shimmer across the panel. As you do recognize that there is a wall of telekinetic force between you and Sentinel protecting him. What does Shadowclaw want to do?
Would I be confused at that power usage? Because I don't think that's something he's normally capable of doing, right?
I will go ahead and let you know, because I feel like Shadowclaw would probably think of it, that this probably means that Miss Mind is somewhere supporting him.
I guess I would let him do whatever the hell he wants, because he's the one making a fucking scene, and just look out to the crowd and say, so you're not the only one thinking this. All of you are thinking this.
Are you looking to try to find them in particular, or are you just sort of talking to the crowd at large?
Yeah, I'm looking around to see if I can see Miss Mind in the crowd.
Okay, yeah, you do see Miss Mind. She is a couple rows back in the crowd. She has her hand up towards where she was protecting Sentinel.
Do I see the rest of the young beacons in there? Or is it just her that I see?
It is just her.
Okay, cool. Then I'm going to try and use my powers to push her through a portal up on stage 2.
Okay. Roll to directly engage a threat for me.
All right. 12.
Okay, on a 10 plus, pick 2. Resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I'm not sure what I'd be taking, but I think we generally, we usually use the take something from them to basically mean what we're trying to do, basically, and then I'll avoid the blows.
Okay, yeah, you could use it as, like, taking her positioning from her, I guess, if you wanted to phrase it that way.
Yeah, that works.
You do manage to sort of suck her through the shadow portal up onto the stage. What, like, where in relation to the rest of you are you placing her?
Probably right next to her friend, Sentinel, here.
Okay. I want to cut over to Alana as that's happening. Would she have any sort of way of finding out that this is going on, or what would she be doing as this whole scene is happening?
So she would have stopped astral projecting. She'd be back in her apartment. I don't think she'd have a way, because no one else is telepathic, so they can't, like, telepathically tell her. And she's not, like, looking at the news or anything. Does she know it's, like, a citywide holiday? Because she's never actually heard from anyone. No one actually told her yet.
I'd assume that, like, somewhere off-panel, people would have told her what was going on. If not, I mean, if she uses, like, social media, she would have seen it from somebody. If she, like, picked up a newspaper, or turned on the morning news, anything of that nature, she would have found out about it.
Yeah, she's not a social person. Right, okay, because I kind of want her to, she needs to get, like, herself a new superhero outfit. So is there, like, a shop she could, like, go buy a superhero outfit?
There actually is a tailor that makes outfits for the capes and hoods in the city. Her name is Dynamite. She was, for the record, that is Dyna space Might. She was a Silver Age hero who has since retired and sort of taken over with designing costumes for people and helping to keep them safe and whatnot. So would she be, like, down in that area then?
Yeah, I should go there. Is that anywhere near the site of the fight, or is that, like, really far away?
It's not too far off. It's a couple blocks away. It's all within sort of downtown Halcyon area.
Okay. I'm going to walk up to Dynamite, and I'm just going to say, I need a new costume.
She sort of arches an eyebrow at you and says, and who might you be, my dear?
My name's Alana.
Anything in particular you're looking for in a costume?
Something that really communicates my personal vibe. Something magey. Something impressive.
She thinks about it for a minute and says, I think we can come up with something. If you're a cape, what's keeping you from... And she gestures with her head towards the downtown area where the Moonlighter Day festivities are happening.
Well, I had another business to take care of.
As Alana is saying that, we will pop back over to Moonlighter Day. As Miss Mind is teleported in next to Sentinel, Director Killinger is, like, stepping into the middle of the stage with his hands up towards both parties. And he says, all right, everybody, just calm down so we can do a calm, thorough investigation of what's going on here.
Is the shield still up from Miss Mind?
You don't see it.
okay. Where is Sentinel right now?
He is on sort of one side of Director Killinger with the Moonlighters on the other, sort of, like, unofficially, he's the, like, halfway point.
I think Ruby would point towards Sentinel and scream towards the director. So you're not just going to have him arrested? And with that, I think she's going to attempt to use her lasso again and try and lasso Sentinel again.
Okay. Roll to directly engage a threat for me, plus danger.
Oh, you know I love doing that.
Can I also step in to defend Sentinel?
Sure. First, what did you get, Antithesis?
I got a 7.
Okay. Nightshade, if you're trying to defend Sentinel, roll plus savior for me.
I got a 10.
Okay, on a hit, give them a -2 to their roll, so that Antithesis, that brings you down to a 5. Go ahead and mark your potential.
So what's the point of that then, Nightshade?
Yeah, Nightshade, first off, how does she block off the whip?
I'm going to reach out and grab it. I'm going to basically grab the whip, like, as it's about to hit Sentinel, and I'm going to turn to face Ruby. And I'm going to basically just tell her the same thing I told Sentinel. We're better than this. This isn't who we are.
As Nightshade is saying that, Antithesis, you feel blasted by a wave of telekinetic force. And I need you to take a powerful blow for me as you're flung through the air.
That is a 10.
Okay, you can choose one from the 10 plus or two from the 7 to 9 list. The 10 plus is remove yourself from the situation, lose control of yourself or your powers in a terrible way. And then the 7 to 9 list, which you would have to choose two from, are lash out verbally or to provoke a teammate or inflict a condition, give ground, or struggle past the pain and mark two conditions.
Because I love storytelling, I'm going to have Ruby lose control of herself or her powers in a terrible way.
That's not good.
I thought you might say that. So I have a question. Either of you can feel free to answer it. What would you all say is the inverse of Nightshade's powers?
Nightshade's powers? I would say,
That is a very good question.
You can take that one, Eve. I don't want to be the one who says it.
I think we all know what it's going to be. It's going to be being normal, being human.
I mean, if you want to get more specific, it could be bioread or whatever, you know, like plant type. But I know it's technically not your ability, but still.
What you got for us, Andy? What you got for us? Tell me what's up.
Yeah, as Antithesis is blasted off of this stage by Miss Mind, she hits the ground hard on the other side of it, and we see a shot of Nightshade as the vines start drawing back from her body. For the first time in this Moonlighters series, we see Laura's human face as the vines start peeling down off of her face and like creeping their way down her neck. As this is happening, also, Sentinel has turned and is just booking it off of the stage. He launches himself off of the edge of it and is just trying to run as quickly as he can away from the Moonlighters.
Ruby's gonna try one more time with that whip.
He actually is on the other side of the stage from you.
Goddamn.
And first, before you do that, I want to find out how Nightshade is reacting as she feels these vines peeling off of her body.
So in my head, I actually imagined this as like a comic strip. You see the vines start at like the center of her face, the human color comes back, and then the vines pull back from her hair, and her strawberry blonde hair falls back down to her just past her shoulders. And as the vines start to recede, everyone is reminded that she doesn't typically wear any armor or clothes. And so as the vines are receding, she's watching until that realization sets in. And then she just kind of collapses on the stage and is just doing her best to cover her body as there's just this huge swath of people out in the crowd.
I feel like you're going to have to mark a condition as that's happening. That feels narratively fair to me.
Is embarrassed as fuck a condition?
I mean, yeah, you've got insecure.
Damn it, I just got rid of that.
Wait. How do you feel about your body? Are you secure in your nudity?
There's also angry and hopeless.
I don't think she's spent enough time in her human body as, like, anything resembling an adult to feel any kind of way about it. But she's naked in front of a crowd. I'm going to say insecure.
That is fair. We see, like, her mother and father running up towards the stage. Your dad is, like, pulling his shirt off as he runs to try to hand it over to you. Shadowclaw, what are you doing as all this is going on? You've got Miss Mind just yeeted Ruby off one side of the stage. Sentinel is running the other direction. Laura is naked in a pile on the ground in front of you.
Real quick, can I try and use my influence over Shadowclaw real quick?
In what way?
I'm gonna just yell at him to try and catch Sentinel. Because he's Shadowclaw, so he can do it, right?
Okay, roll to provoke him.
Alrighty. That's gonna be an 11.
Okay.
Do it, my dude, do it!
On a 10 plus, Shadow Claw, if you try to catch Sentinel, you add a team to the pool. If you decide to take another direction, you mark a condition.
I was not going to be focusing on Sentinel at all, but okay. Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, okay. I'll say that Shadow Claw, first of all, was just so very surprised at the sudden seeing of Laura, given that we were childhood friends. It's like, oh my god, it's Laura! Holy shit! And this motherfucker hurt her! No! So yeah, I'm gonna help.
Okay. As you are looking and sort of taking the situation in, you see Sentinel has tapped a couple of more buttons on his wristwatch. A hard light projection of a motorcycle appears in front of him, and he hops on it and is making his way out of the area. What does Nightshade? What does Shadowclaw want to do?
I don't know if there's a name for the type of thing where you would, like, paint up a portrait of a tunnel into a wall, and then they drive into it, but...
Like Looney Tunes style, my dude?
Yeah, Looney Tunes style. Fucking, yeah, Acme style. He just drives into that direction, and there's actually a shadow portal, and he drives into the stage instead. Like a crashing type for him, but that sucks for him, not me.
Okay. I'm trying to decide if that's unleashing your powers or directly engaging a threat to take his escape from him. I'm going to say directly engage a threat because he's got some options based off of your roll on that one. So roll plus danger for me.
Is the option to crash?
Maybe.
You can do it. You can do it.
Oh, I didn't. I rolled a 5.
Can I do a team?
You all have one team, so that would only bring you up to a 6.
And that's a miss too, right?
It is.
Damn it!
Big fat miss.
So, what does it look like on the panel as Shadow Claw is trying to summon this portal? Like, does he have a pose that the readers would recognize as that's what he's trying to do, or something like that?
Since this one's a person further away, and... they're definitely on the ground, and it's not myself. I'd have, like, be crouched on the ground as my hands go down into my own shadow, and there would be, like, a sort of a line going, not a line going towards them, but the shadow underneath the motorcycle would probably darken as I attempt to pull a portal in front of it.
So we see the shadow starting to darken as Sentinel is driving away on his motorcycle. And then the shadow starts fading into a lighter color. We cut back over to Miss Mind, who has her hand out towards you. And she looks at you with a smirk and says, "Not today, Shadow Claw. Did you already mark your potential?"
"Yes."
"Okay. So yeah, she says, "Not today, Shadow Claw. What is Antithesis doing?"
Antithesis has gotten up off the ground and, like an Olympic sprinter, like Usain Bolt, she's going to sprint towards Mrs. Mind with all her might.
Okay, she's going at Miss Mind. What's she going to attempt to do once she gets there?
Her plan is to tackle Miss Mind to the ground like Chicago PD.
Okay, directly engage a threat for me, plus danger.
That's a 9.
Okay, you get to pick one from the list. Resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I'm going to resist or avoid her blows.
Okay, so as Antithesis is charging at her, Miss Mind does see her coming. She manages to, like, step back out of the way so that her and Antithesis are sort of squared up against each other. Her hand is still out towards Shadowclaw, holding him and his powers at bay. What is going on with Laura as her father comes up on the stage and hands his shirt over? I'm imagining him as being a fair size larger than a teenage girl. so she would be able to use this to cover up her important bits, if that was what she decided to do.
Yeah, that's pretty much what she's going to do. So, like, I have the mental image of him basically just draping it over her and then her just, like, holding it around her like a cloak.
Yeah, as he's, like, got his arms thrown out, just, like, trying to body block her from the audience.
Yeah, that's kind of what, yeah, that's what's in my head, too. So, I think that there's just going to be a lot of shock and a lot of moments of, like, her looking at her skin. I don't think she's like, out. She's, like, in no position to continue. So I think that it's just going to be, like, standing up and then, like, as much as I can stand up, and then kind of hobble off stage quickly.
Okay. As that is happening, you do feel the vines starting to grow back around you. This isn't, like, some sort of permanent takeaway of your powers.
Woo! Oh my god!
But it is going to take a fair amount of time before this is back.
Bloody!
Shadowclaw and Antithesis, what are the two of you getting up to? You've got Miss Mind sort of between the two of you holding Shadowclaw back.
Am I close to Miss Mind at all? I'm trying to get Ruby close to her, like within like two, three feet of her.
Yeah, you all are pretty close, within a couple steps of each other.
She's got her hand out, right?
Towards Shadowclaw, yeah.
I'm going to have Ruby try and take that hand by the wrist and break it. Like, break the wrist.
Jesus.
That is directly engaging a threat if I've ever heard one.
That's a 7.
Okay, you get to resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
If I pick take something from her, can I take from her the cartilage in her wrist?
You certainly can.
Okay.
Remember, kids, don't try this at home.
So what does that look like as Antithesis is breaking Miss Mine's wrist?
Antithesis looks at her hand out. Like, she's obviously using her psychic powers. Antithesis is a psychic. She knows what this is. And she's looking at Shadowclaw, and she looks back to the hand. She grabs her by, like, her fingers, and she just bends that hand all the way backwards and then takes her knee down on the bottom, and then just you hear a loud, gruesome crack.
As that happens, we hear Miss Mind scream out in pain, and then Ruby feels her entire body tense up as electricity shoots throughout her body. From between her shoulder blades, Director Killinger has placed a stun baton between your shoulder blades and activated it on you, and I need you to take a powerful blow for me.
Can I try and defend her from that?
Sure. As you see him approaching with it out, roll plus savior for me.
14.
Yes! That's what I'm fucking talking about, baby!
Okay. On a hit, you keep them safe and choose add a team to the pool, take influence over someone you protect, or clear a condition.
Wow, I have a few options for that. What was the first one again?
Add a team to the pool.
Yeah, okay, that one.
Okay, that brings you all up to 3 team in the pool. How is Shadowclaw defending Antithesis from this happening?
With words. He's gonna be like, oh, so now you decide to do that, while Miss Mind is over here stopping us, and Miss Sentinel's over here destroying things. You're a shitty leader!
He turns and points the baton in your direction and says, I'm trying to keep peace in this city, to stop these two teams from attacking each other.
Real quick, Andy.
Crack!
Real quick, Andy. So, I would assume Miss Mind is kind of, like, recoiling right now?
Yes. She is backing away from Ruby.
As she hears Director Killinger, like, behind her yelling, she turns and just, like, brings her fist forward into his face.
She's attacking the head of Aegis?
Absolutely, my dude.
Roll plus danger for me to directly engage him.
That's gonna be a 9.
Okay, does anybody want to use a team from the pool to help on this, or...
Justin, you know you want to. You know you want to. Justin.
No, I want
Justin,
this to de-escalate.
Justin.
I don't know what you want as end goal here,
just
but
imagine.
Like...
Justin, just imagine for one moment. Just imagine.
What am I supposed to imagine that's possibly good?
A 10.
Oh my god!
Okay, so antithesis, you get to choose one, resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
I'm gonna take that baton.
Okay.
I would say she just, like, punches him, and as he kind of loses footing, his hand opens, and she just grabs it.
Okay, I didn't realize the intent was to do that. I thought you were gonna fucking hurt him for no reason.
Well, I mean, yeah, she punches him. She punches him.
I know. But, like, if the intent was to disarm, I would have been seeing that and like, oh, okay, he's probably gonna hurt somebody with that. He needs to calm down. I would have helped that, for sure. If that helps, somehow. Or to explain why he wouldn't have originally.
Just imagine.
Okay, so how is Shadowclaw helping, then?
I've already got him distracted here. Can I yell even more?
Yeah, I think that'll work. You two just arguing back and forth, allowing Ruby to kind of sucker punch him.
So I get one more?
You get to pick one more.
I'm gonna put impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition. Do I get a move after this?
Not yet, because you are not choosing to resist or avoid their blows. I think in this instance, as you catch the baton, it's not Director Killinger that is going to have blows attack you. But once again, Miss Mind, rather than shoving Ruby away this time, though, she pulls the sparking TV off of its stand and flings it into Ruby. And as this electrocution and force hits you, I need you to go ahead and mark a condition for me.
Real quick, Andy, can I do something?
What is it?
I wanted to use my impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition to use a
move. Oh.
What move?
Can I use my are you watching closely? When you mislead, distract, or trick someone, roll plus superior? Can I use my impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition to mislead, distract, or trick someone?
I mean, you weren't really. You were just kind of punching him.
Unless Laura's about to do something, or you're going to switch over to Hocus, I have words for Miss Mind, too.
Okay, before all that, Ruby needs to mark a condition.
Okay, yeah,
How you feel about that?
You just got smacked by an electric TV.
That's gonna be insecure.
As opposed to those, what, fuel TVs?
Well, I mean like a sparking TV.
Insecure because she really wanted to do something with that goddamn baton.
Okay, so then what is Shadowclaw doing after that?
Okay, so, he meant to say this earlier even. And you, and he turns to Ms. Mind. How dare you insult Hocus like that? She tried her best. She thought she could do better with you. And she left because she felt that she couldn't do better with you. That's not her fault. That would obviously have to be yours. So you're making this about you too. How dare you?
And then what pulled her off of our team to come back to you? And then we will cut over to Alana in Dynamite's costume shop. As we get a shot of Alana talking to Dinah, a sentinel rides by on his motorcycle in the background. You would hear through the window as he rides by in his new color scheme. I'm not sure if you want to have Alana react to that or what she would do in reaction to that, but I will give you a chance to do something at this point.
I don't really think Alana would notice or care.
Okay, so we get a panel of Dinah still talking to Alana. She's basically trying to figure out, like, yeah, that's what it is. We cut in on the middle of their conversation. She says, so, tell me who you are.
Well, I'd like my... I guess my cape name will be Enmity. My powers... I control, I'm magical, essentially. I like to teleport people, maybe steal a soul or two, you know, standard stuff.
Things sure have escalated since I've donned the tights, it seems. Enmity, it's, well, it's a very adversarial name, isn't it?
I'm an adversarial person.
And what do you oppose?
Villains, in all their forms. Even if they're close to us, they have to be crushed.
She seems very intrigued by the way you're speaking, and she says, so, what makes a villain to you, Enmity? What draws the line between a hero and a villain?
Well, let's say, I don't know, if you've got an evil criminal organization, you're probably a villain at that stage. I mean, maybe if you, I don't know, supply villains, you could arguably be construed as a villain at that point.
That still doesn't seem to draw the line between what makes one a villain or a hero. What does it mean to be a hero to you?
If you've got power and you use it to help people, that would make you a hero. If you've got power and you use it to harm people or hurt people, then you're a villain. And you have to be dealt with.
Does helping yourself not count as helping people?
I suppose others would be a more accurate term. Tell me, do you often give psychological evaluations for those who come in to get new costumes?
She chuckles a little bit and says, I like to figure out what's going on in this city, keep my fingers on the pulse of it, and this is the easiest way to do that. Can't design an accurate costume if I don't get an idea of what makes people tick, now can I?
That makes sense. I understand.
As that conversation is going on, we cut back to the stage of downtown Halcyon City. Miss Mind looks over at Shadowclaw and says, oh yeah, she left off with the last line. What pulled Alana away from their team if she wasn't being a spy for yours?
She realized what all these people realize, that we're better than you.
There's that. But also, we're all heroes here. Why would we even need to spy on you? That doesn't make any sense. That doesn't help anybody.
You claim to be heroes, yet you go out working with villains like Jump Scare?
He helped us do something that you wouldn't, that you were too afraid to do. Afraid to lose your stupid corporate fucking sponsorship. So you refuse to really help people.
He helped you break the law. That is the mark of a villain.
I would totally get near her face and say, you have no right to talk about somebody you don't even know.
Laws aren't always just, you fucking numbskull.
What is Laura doing as all this is happening? Is she still retreating, or...
Can I hear it?
Yeah, you can almost, like, as you're making your way off the stage, this is all still... Like, I'm assuming none of these people are being particularly quiet with their words. So yeah, you definitely hear what's going on.
Are they even remotely close to me?
They are up on the stage, and I assumed you were making your way off of the stage as this is going on. So it's like within a couple of feet. It's not like particularly far away.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around. I'm going to actually like slip the shirt on. Like, let's be real, my dad's probably boring as fuck, and so he's probably one of those guys that wears a button-down shirt every day, so it's like I'm going to button that closed, and then I'm just going to walk back on stage and kind of angrily interrupt everybody, and I'm just going to, like, I'm going to start by just, like, shouting at everybody, like, shut the fuck up!
The, at least Miss Mind and Director Killinger turn to look at you. I can't speak for Shadowclaw or Antithesis.
Where is Antithesis right now? Like, after that hit?
I'd assume that you and Shadowclaw are both fairly close to where Miss Mind is at.
Okay, she's gonna take this opportunity, and she's gonna put her fucking hand on the back of Miss Mind's neck, and she's gonna try and, like, just use her weight to just, like, sling this lady down onto the ground by her face and put that bad wrist, like, into her back.
Okay, roll to directly engage a threat for me, assuming nobody is going to try to defend her.
Thank you very much.
I am.
That's going to be a 10, boy.
Okay, Nightshade, roll plus savior for me.
I got a 6. Makes sense.
That's not good enough.
Shadowclaw, did you want to use a team from the pool to help her, or...
Don't Don't even try.
Do you want to allow Ruby to?
Is this a roll against Ruby?
It's a roll to defend. It's just its own move.
Okay, because I was curious, because I actually have influence over Ruby, so I wasn't sure if that would count.
Mm.
Oh! Actually, no. This would be defending on Miss Mind, so if you have influence over her, that would be a plus one.
I don't. I have influence over almost all of the young beacons except her.
You can use team selfishly if you want to, though. If you want to use that to up your savior and lower another label.
Yeah, I'm gonna do it.
Okay. I think it's kind of clear how you would insult or ignore your teammates here, but you can elaborate further if you would like to.
I'm literally going to just run up and just full weight shove Ruby.
Okay.
And I'm just going to scream, like, in her face. Just, like, a completely feral scream.
So you are raising your savior. What label are you lowering?
I'm raising my savior and I'm lowering my freak.
Okay. So then you expose yourself to cost, retribution, or judgment. And antithesis, you get to pick one from the list now. Resist or avoid their blows, take something from them, create an opportunity for your allies, or impress, surprise, or frighten the opposition.
If I take something from them, does that include me taking Miss Mind's standing ground and just going through with it anyway?
I figured you would sweep her down and then, like, as you are lowered down to the ground, distracted by what's happening, Laura does knock you down to the ground, which is going to see her standing above you and Miss Mind. And then that gives you your chance for cost, retribution, or judgment on Nightshade standing above you, screaming in your face.
What is retribution intent?
That is whatever sort of payback you want to give her. That's totally up to you.
Can I have Ruby just, like, subtly kick her in a way that maybe the crowd wouldn't notice just because of her position on the stage? And so Nightshade would just be on her ass.
Okay, so you're sweeping the leg, basically?
Yeah. And can she, like, just get on top of Miss Mind?
As you do that, Director Killinger reaches down and is pulling you off of her. What's Shadowclaw doing as all this is going on?
Jesus, there's so much going on. Alright, Miss Mind's about to get fucked up. Sentinel is gone. Director's fucky. Laura's suddenly involved. I'm still shit-talking Miss Mind, I believe. But Laura yelled, so I was distracted by that for the moment. Let's see. Can I, like, look around to fucking stop this nonsense? Assess the situation.
Yeah, I was gonna say, roll to assess the situation, plus superior.
I believe in you.
I rolled an 8.
Amazing.
Okay, you get one from the list. What here can I use to blank? What here is the biggest threat? What here is in the greatest danger? Who here is most vulnerable to me? Or how could we best end this quickly?
I believe that's already been answered. How do we end this quickly?
Honestly, and I'm not trying to throw shade here, antithesis has continuously sort of re-escalated what's going on. If you were able to separate her and Miss Mind, that would probably be your best way of ending this.
He's not wrong.
Either get Miss Mind out or get antithesis out.
He's not wrong.
Like, I understand, but also, from my perspective as well, all I've seen her do is also disarm all of these fuckers. Is like, okay, you're being an asshole. Let's put you down. Okay, you're being an asshole. Let's put you down. I mean, that's kind of been our team motto for a little bit. No, that sounds a little bad.
So you're saying that Ruby is right?
I would never tell her that.
Ah, yes. She can feel it.
But with the assumption that we're trying to de-escalate by forcing everyone down. I mean, yeah, okay. So, do I do something now too, or was my assessing the move?
No, you can act on what you know now.
Got it, cool. I got some new powers, guys. You brought to fucking watch it. It's gonna look bad, but it's fine. Let's have me just fucking sit down on the ground. Like a guy named Alexander Gray. Yep, I'm gonna sit down. I get paid for it. Sorry, that was a wrestling reference. Don't mind me. Okay, what I'm intending to do is use my new Shadow Claw powers of Mind Clouding. I intend to take away their... Well, not sanity, that sounds like they're gonna go, like, berserk.
It's a little extreme.
Yeah, I mean to, like, clutter their mind, like, the clouding part. Like, they don't know... Not, like, full-on unconscious, but, like...
Simply like, a bout of mania.
Kind of, it's like Yeah, mania's pretty good, I think. It's like, they don't know what's going on anymore. They're just very, very lost.
Okay, and you're using that on who exactly?
On Ms. Mind.
Just her?
If I could do both, I would. Because if they're both down, I mean, hey.
You can roll to unleash your powers, and we'll see what happens.
Not likely.
The Ms. Mind or the director in Ms. Mind?
Well, according to my assess the situation, the director's not been a problem. So, unfortunately, I rolled an 8 on that.
Okay, so you got an 8. Mark a condition, or the GM will tell you how the effect is unstable or temporary.
I'm gonna mark guilty, because I feel like this... I feel like I could have helped more to resolve this earlier. If perhaps I was more aggressive.
Okay.
Is it possible that Ruby could use her powers in Inflected? Question mark?
Yeah, roll to unleash your powers, but give me just a minute before you do that. What does it look like on Miss Mind and Antithesis as this is happening? Is it like a dark cloud around their head, or like what's our sort of visual cue here?
Yeah, as he sits down, the darkness around him seems to be almost like a cloud or fog around him, and then suddenly around their heads, the fog kind of appears and then shoots into their ears. It looks very corny because it's a comic book. Otherwise, like, it's sort of like with Naruto where you shouldn't be able to see the chakra, and in this case, yeah, everyone else wouldn't fucking see it, but we sure do because we're reading this comic.
Okay, so Antithesis, roll to unleash your powers to deflect that.
Yeah, that's a 4.
Okay, go ahead and mark potential.
I imagine Ruby just tries, but before she can, it just, like, it's already done.
Double knockout!
So, I think as this fog is clouding Ruby's mind, she realizes, like, she feels her mind starting to slip into this sort of inky haze, and I'm going to have you mark either afraid or hopeless, whichever you think is more appropriate to her feelings.
Perhaps afraid.
That definitely works. And then, as this is happening, Ruby, you smell sulfur as we get an onomatopoeia on the page of Fwoof. Jump scare appears for the briefest of seconds behind Shadow Claw, and then with another foof, the two of them disappear from the stage. We cut to a panel in a dark alley, and Shadow Claw is standing with Jump Scare face to face. Next to Jump Scare is a suit of power armor in a light blue and gunmetal gray color scheme. Shadow Claw, what do you do?
What the fuck? Because I was sitting too, so now I'm sitting there on the dirty ass ground? Yeah, I guess you'd say, what the fuck? Maybe the fuck bubble's like cut out.
Yeah, fuck bubble. sorry. Shadow Claw, fucking Nightshade. Jump Scare runs his hand through his hair and says, I sorry to pull you away like that. That didn't seem like a lot of fun anyway. But big guy here wanted to talk to you. And as he's saying that, he's pointing at the suit of power armor. And he says, this is Big Brother, and he says that the two of you have some work to do. And that is the last panel in this issue.
The fuck?
So, we get some end-of-session moves here. Let's start with Alana. Did you grow closer to the team, into your own image of yourself, or away from the team?
I guess into my own image, because I went and got myself a costume eventually, which was neat.
That makes sense. I am sorry that I did not find a way to better fold you into the action of this episode.
That's okay.
Explain how you see yourself and why. Shift one label up and another down.
I mentally influenced Ruby's mum, which was fun. And then I began to reinvent myself with a new costume. I'm quite literally growing into my own image. And label. I think I'm going to go danger up and mundane down.
That makes sense based off of what happened. Next up, Max, or rather, Antithesis. Did you grow closer to the team, into your own image of yourself, or away from the team?
Hey, what's up? Ruby grew into her own image of herself, and that's because she had a gigantic, big fuck-off fight in front of a ton of people and got a lot of attention. So that was great.
Okay, shift one label up and one label down.
I'm going, because I can't touch superior or danger, I'm going to shift freak up and mundane down.
Alrighty. Next up, Shadowclaw. Did you grow closer to the team, into your own image of yourself, or away from the team?
Shit. Fuck if I know. It's been a lot. Fuck. You know, it's not often I'd say that I got closer to Ruby, I feel like.
That's fair. So, you're saying you got closer to Ruby via this session?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's sweet.
Give influence to Ruby and clear a condition or mark potential?
Oh, I'll mark a potential.
Ruby, did you already have influence over Shadowclaw?
I sure did.
Okay, then you get to shift his labels and you cannot touch his savior role.
Can I put this man's superior up?
And what would go down?
And shift his mundane down, because that is no normal man.
I am okay with this, and that it can be done. So it shall be.
Thank you.
Okay. And last but not least, Laura, did you grow closer to the team, into your own image of yourself, or away from the team?
I'm going to say away from the team.
I'm gonna say that makes sense.
Oh.
At the risk of this being an obvious question, who made you feel detached?
Ruby.
Really?
No, do you know who it was? It was that bitch that we didn't see all day, Alana. God, who does she think she is not being here today?
If Nightshade felt betrayed by Alana not showing up, that actually does make sense in a way.
No one invited me.
Bitch, you were invited.
No, I wasn't.
I mean, like, that only happened because fucking Miss Mind had to fucking misbehave. She didn't mean to do that. Why would she do that?
We invited Alana. We also invited, my brain. So I don't do the same mistake as you guys. I don't do the, like, I don't call him Shadowclaw. I call him Jigglypuff in my head. Jump Scare. I don't know why I call him Jigglypuff, but that's what I do. Jump Scare was also invited, wasn't he? Because he's also like a honorary moonlighter, but he also said no.
I don't remember if the director was around during that conversation, you know?
I don't think he was. But then again, it's distinctly possible that he was, because he doesn't exactly seem like the brightest. Just throwing that out there. If he was, he'd have better control over his little douchebags. But yeah, I'm going to say Ruby.
Okay, so Ruby, you no longer have influence over Laura.
Did you have influence over me?
Alright, I did have influence and I did take it off.
Okay.
I knew the piece wouldn't last.
With that, we are going to wrap up this issue of our Reality Warp art. If you liked what you heard, follow us on Twitter at LGBTDpod. If you really liked what you heard, tell people about us, leave reviews, all those sorts of things make us happy and help us to get the word out about our little podcast here. What also makes us happy is if you would like to support us financially, you can do so through Patreon at patreon.com/LGBTD. You can join such amazing people as Twitter users at Mike is Stranded, at Super Caitlin One. Our other patrons include Zach and Nick, who we appreciate very much, and they help us to bring this podcast to you each and every week, which means a lot to us and hopefully means a lot to you. Again, if you would like to join them, that is patreon.com/LGBTD.
Special thanks to our editor, credited as Dumbass Editor McGee.
Yeah, he actually asked to be credited that way.
We will be back next week with our next issue of Reality Warp. Until then, stay safe, everybody. The Eye of Zeus is actually just a Cheddar Bay biscuit. That's how they control everyone in Halcyon City.
Can I ask y'all something real quick? Because, like, for real, I need help deciding this, because my, like, I've had this argument with a number of people. You know those, like, potato wedges, the, like, seasoned fried potato wedges, like, baked potato wedges that they have at, like, stores and supermarkets?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are those called?
I thought potato wedges.
Wedges, dog.
Yeah, I think just wedges.
I grew up calling them tater babies.
The fuck are you talking about?
What?
You making
no.
You
oh, I've heard them.
Just,
what?
You made
I've heard them tater balls.
I am not even kidding you. When I was growing up, we would go to a store and it was called Smith's. And we would go to Smith's and they had their little, like, ghetto bakery. And 100% they would have potato wedges, but they were, like, heavily seasoned and baked. And they called them tater babies.
Bro, that's the most, like, fucking ridiculous
and
shit.
I swear to God, I've called them tater babies my entire life. And everybody, like, is just like, no, it has some other names.
Yeah, you think people might not have an adverse reaction to that.
Well, Ed calls them, like,
Katie's. Oh, my Chinese food is here, dog. One moment, please.